Tonight I just want to give a basic introduction to the halachas of Shemitah and what is osur before Shemitah comes. Okay. Torah says, according to most opinions, Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only the Rabbanan. Only the Rabbanan, it doesn't really mean, but it's not the Raisa. It's only from the Rabbanan for various reasons. And however, it's the Rabbanan is also very important, and there's still differences between things that when Shemitah was from the Torah were from the Torah, and things that when Shemitah were from the Torah were only rabbinic also. We're more makel in the things that never are min haTorah, and more machmer in things that at the time when Shemitah was from the Torah, those things were from the Torah too. The Torah prohibits certain agricultural works during Shemitah, and the Rabbanan extended it to other agricultural works. When we get into the Shemitah itself, we'll discuss what they are, which things are osur from the Torah, and which things are only rabbinic. There are things that are prohibited rabbinically, but for various reasons are permitted. If the tree will, or the plant will die, or be damaged excessively, that's one part of Shemitah, the agricultural part, and it applies not only to people with a lot of fields or whatever, applies to people's own personal gardens also. And there's a difference we'll see between things that are growing outside and things that are growing inside, things that are growing in the ground or things that are growing in flower pots, and whether the flower pots have holes in them or don't have holes, and what material they're made of. All that we'll get to in detail as we go on. In addition to that, the Torah also said that things that grow during Shemitah, and what's considered growing during Shemitah, right, how much of it has to grow during Shemitah, even if it was planted before or whatever, have Kedusha Shvius. Now that means that you have to treat it in a special way, and there are certain things you're not allowed to do with it. You're not allowed to do business with it, and we'll explain what that means. It doesn't exclude all kinds of business. You can't waste it. It has to be used in its normal way and not used in an abnormal way. It's made basically for eating, and therefore there are many, many halachas of how to deal with things that have Kedusha Shvius, and it's not only the fruits or vegetables themselves that have Kedusha Shvius, but anything that is prepared together with them. You make a stew and put vegetables in, then the meat also gets Kedusha Shvius under certain circumstances. So you have to know how to treat the products of Shvius properly. That's another whole section of the halachas of Shemitah. In addition, there are things that are prohibited bechlal to eat if they grow during Shemitah. More or less things that are annual crops, not fruit, that grows on the tree that comes, what's it called, every year on the same tree or whatever, but things that are grown like wheat and grains and vegetables, that's an issur called svichim. It's prohibited midrabbanan, because the rabbis were afraid that if we allowed people to eat things that grew by themselves during Shemitah, people would go and plant and say they grew by itself. So anything that we're afraid that people would plant like that, and it's something that has to be planted year after year, that falls under the klal of svichim. There are a lot of details what is considered svichim and what not. And therefore, certain things that are planted abnormally, that people wouldn't plant them like that, there's heterim to eat those things. Because we're not afraid that people would plant them like that, because it's not the normal way to plant things. So there's also an issur of svichim that applies again basically to vegetables that grew even by themselves during Shemitah. And then there's another halacha, and that is that the produce has to be hefker. Right? You can't protect, guard things that grow in your rishus. If it has kedusha shvius, you have to leave it, then anybody can come take it. You can also take some, you can't take all of it. And there are halachas, how much you can take and how often you can take, and how you have to leave your garden open? Do you have to leave it open that animals can come in, that goyim can come in, or whatever? And we'll discuss that, how much you can protect your garden and how much you're not allowed to protect it, and leave it hefker, that anybody can come and take the fruit, or vegetables that are permitted, take the vegetables, whatever. That is another aspect of Shemitah, the hefker, the idea that the things that have Kedusha Shvius, you can't treat as the owner. You have to leave it hefker. What other halachas are there that are nogea to Shemitah? We'll see what things that you have to know to prepare until Av, the middle of Av, there's not any halachas that apply. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there were halachas of Shemitah that applied already Pesach time, between Pesach and Shavuos. And about plowing certain fields or plowing certain areas of land, those don't apply today. It only applied in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. There is no concept, according to most opinions, of Tosefes Shvius, of adding on to Shemitah. Shemitah is like Shabbos. There's a mitzvah to add on to Shabbos, to start Shabbos a few seconds, minutes earlier. So some hold that there's an inyan to add on to Shemitah too. And therefore, Lechumra, it's a good idea that the day before Rosh Hashanah, Chaf Tes Elul, person should not do any work on their gardens that they're not allowed to do during Shemitah. It's a Chumra, it's not a Lahalacha. Some hold that it's enough, the time that you add to Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, which is a few minutes, is enough to be Yotze also the time adding to Shemitah. And again, the halacha is that there is no time at all that has to be added, and the Isser starts when Rosh Hashanah comes, and the same Isser that can't work anyway on Rosh Hashanah starts the Isser of not working on the land with the things that are prohibited. However, there is a certain rabbinic problems of doing things before Shemitah that could cause problems with the things that you are planting. And that is basically fruit trees. Fruit trees, the Rabbanan assured planting a fruit tree closer than 44 days before Rosh Hashanah. The reason for that is it takes 2 weeks for a fruit tree to take root. Right? If you plant it from a seed, we'll see that therefore there are differences. If you don't plant it from a seed, or most people don't plant trees from seeds, they plant it from already growing things or grafting or whatever. But in any case, if you plant from a seed, it takes 2 weeks for the seed to take root. And once it takes root, you have 30 days to be considered a year legabi orla. Okay, if you plant a tree 44 days before Rosh Hashanah, so it takes root in 14 days, you have 30 days left till Rosh Hashanah, that counts as 1 year of orla. And then the next year is a second year, and the next year is a third year, and whatever grows during that third year, right, and blossoms before Tu B'Shvat of the fourth year is considered still Orla. That's the laws of Orla. The rabbis were afraid that if you planted things less than 44 days before Rosh Hashanah, so it didn't take root and didn't have 30 days before, then you start counting the years of Orla from after Tishrei. And you don't have a year when Tishrei comes in. The year is only when the first year will be finished. In other words, Tufshin Ayin Hay will be the first year of Orla. If you planted it 44 days before, then Tufshin Ayin Dalet will be the first year of Orla, and the second year will be Tufshin Ayin Hay, the third year will be Tufshin Ayin Vav, and anything that blossomed before Tu B'Shvat of Tufshin Ayin Zayin is still Orla. And therefore, what people will do is they'll think that if you planted less than 44 days before, within the 44 days, so you start counting the Orla from Tufshin Ayin Hay, which is Shemitah. People will think you planted it during Shemitah. So therefore the rabbis prohibited planting anything within the 44 days before Rosh Hashanah for fear that people would think you planted it on Rosh Hashanah. And if you did plant it within, you have to uproot it. You can't leave it there. So the question is, though, when does those 44 days? The Chazon Ish paskens, and that's the halacha, that the day of planting counts already as the first day. of the 44 days. Therefore, you can plant up until the 16th day of Av, including the 16th day right before Shkia. If you want to plant fruit trees, okay, it doesn't apply to non-fruit trees because there's no orla by trees that aren't fruit trees. And it doesn't apply to things that aren't trees. Here there's different halachas that would apply, which we'll get to. But this halach applies only to fruit. So if you plan to plant fruit trees before Shemitah, make sure you do it lechatchila before the 15th day of Av is over. Right? Because there's a shita that holds the day of the planting itself doesn't count. You start counting the 44 days from the next day. So you need a full 44 days before Rosh Hashanah, which means from the 16th day of Av totally and on, and therefore you can only plant on the 15th day of Av, on Tu Ba'av, till Shkia. La'halacha, you have an extra day. You can plant on the 16th day of Av, till Shkia. But l'chatchila, to be machmir, it's good to not plant on the 15th day after Shkia. Okay. That is when it comes to fruit trees. When it comes to planting other things, vegetables or whatever, so we'll get to the halachas of Svichim, certain vegetables, if they don't grow enough before Shemitah, are going to be also during Shemitah, and you're going to have to uproot them and destroy them. You can't have any benefit from them. So it's not kedai to plant vegetables in your garden, right, in the time that they would not grow enough before Shemitah to be mutter. So that's something to take in consideration. If you plan to do any planting in your garden before Shemitah, you should ask a shayla how long you need to be able to plant so that the vegetables that you have you'll be able to eat, because they grew enough before Shemitah not to be considered Svichim. But we'll get to those halachas anyway, but that's something you should keep in mind. Also, there is a sheet that we don't hold like that, but again, to be machmir is a good idea, that anything that takes root, even if you planted it before Shemitah, but it takes root during Shemitah, is aser. You can't, the halacha is, right, and that's the way the Chazon Ish paskens, that you can't actually plant things during Shemitah. That's one of the prohibited agricultural works. It's also planting. So you can't plant things on Shemitah. But if you planted them before Shemitah, even though they take root by themselves during Shemitah, you're not transgressing anything. Just like you would plant something before Shabbos and it takes root on Shabbos, it's not a problem. The Minchas Chinuch, however, holds that Shabbos and Shemitah are different. Shabbos, the Isser is you can't do Malacha. So if I do the Malacha of planting Erev Shabbos, and it takes root by itself on Shabbos, I didn't do anything on Shabbos. I did everything before Shabbos. That's Mutter. By Shemitah, the Minchas Chinuch says it's different. The prohibition is not you doing work with the land, but it's the land being worked. And therefore, even if you cause the land to be worked indirectly by planting something before Shemitah, but it takes root during Shemitah, then you're over an Isser too. You've caused the land to work during Shemitah, right, by taking root. That's called planting. So basically the planting took place on Shemitah, even though you didn't do the planting, you only caused it indirectly, that's called Isser. We don't hold like that, la halacha, right? And therefore, me'ikar hadin, you can plant something, as long as it's not a fruit tree, right before Rosh Hashanah, or more than 3 days if it takes 3 days for things to take root that are not trees. It takes, like we said, 2 weeks for trees to take root. According to the Minchas Chinuch, you would not be allowed to plant any trees, even not fruit trees, right, less than 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. So from the 15th day of Elul and on, there's a chumrah not to plant any kind of tree. From 3 days before Rosh Hashanah, there's a chumrah not to plant anything that's not a tree that would take root on Rosh Hashanah, or after Rosh Hashanah during Shemitah, within those 3 days. The halacha, again, except for fruit trees, you're allowed to plant things, up until a few minutes before Rosh Hashanah. Now, there are things that you would be allowed to plant, even fruit trees, later than the 44 days. If you're planting it in such a way that it doesn't take 2 weeks to take root, okay? For instance, you're planting already something that was growing in a flower pot with certain conditions, which is not going to die now to go into, it's just to complicate things. But if you're going to plant things, you're going to buy things from a nursery and plant them before Shemitah, and they were growing already, okay, in a pot. So then you have an extra 2 weeks, or really if you have a little bit less than that, because it'll take root right away, because it already has roots. So therefore you have extra 2 weeks to plant things up until the day before Rosh Chodesh Elul. You need 30 days still for it to grow, but you don't need 2 weeks for it to take root, because it already took root. So anything that doesn't need 2 weeks to take root, an example like we said is where it was growing already in a flower pot, right? And you're planting it now with all the earth. Okay, so you have to ask a child, if you're going to plant something from a nursery in a flower pot, there are certain conditions where it's considered already have taken root. There's conditions where it's not considered like that, ask a Shiloh. If you're grafting things or whatever, then you don't need those extra 2 weeks. Then you, in certain cases, there you can do it right till Rosh Hashanah. But if you plan to graft trees, most people here don't graft trees. If you plan to plant trees that are already growing, transplant them from already a growing state, then ask a Shiloh. It's possible you'll be able to plant them even closer to Rosh Hashanah than the 44 days, up until Rosh Chodesh Elul. Okay. Another thing, my mechutin, Rabbi Marchin, Shlomi's father-in-law, wrote this sefer, and they tell me there's another volume coming out, which is more revised or whatever, and enlarged. But here he has some practical advice also. It's a very good sefer to get. I don't get any commission on it. Very good sefer to get, but I would wait till the new volume comes out, because it'll have the enlarged and revised. I think last year they put out this one, 7 years earlier put out a different one. Each year, each 7 years, it gets bigger and the things are added. In any case, so he has some practical advice over here of what you should do. if you plan to, we'll see that there's a difference between plants that are inside the house and plants that are outside the house. Plants that are in flower pots that have a hole or don't have a hole, and it makes a difference what material the flower pot is made of. So it's a good idea to find out those halachas, and we'll go into them as we go on during the coming weeks. What halachas apply, where Shemitah applies to plants in flower pots, inside, outside, and so on. It's a good idea to learn those halachas before Shemitah, so you can prepare for your house plants to be in such a way they shouldn't be a problem, right? That you can water them or whatever without a lot of problems. So you should learn, we will learn those halachas, what kind of flower pots to use, how to separate them from the ground, where they are in the house, where they are outside, and therefore, if you prepare and you prepare the flower pots properly and you put them in the right places, you'll be able to work with them during Shemitah much easier than if you don't know the halachas and you set them up in such a way that they are problematic, then you'll have a lot bigger problem in how to take care of them during Shemitah. Another thing, we'll see that there could be a problem, since one of the halachas is you're not allowed to water plants on Shemitah, and we know on Shabbos, right, also you're not allowed to water plants, and even indirectly watering them is a problem. And therefore, if you have a pipe that water runs out from that pipe, you pour water into the pipe and it runs directly on things that are growing, you can't do that on Shabbos in most situations. And in certain situations, you can't do that in Shemitah too. So if you have drains that drain water from the house, for instance, you have a mirpeset, and when you do sponge in the mirpeset, there's a pipe where the water will go, and underneath that there's what's it called, things growing, then it could be that you can't let the water go out through that pipe. There are ways of making it mutter, right? If you divert the pipe and it goes not directly on the what's it called, things that are growing, but indirectly, and then after that it just happens to flow down onto things that are growing, that could be permitted in certain cases. Same thing goes if you have air conditioning. What's it called? Ducts. Ducts, not ducts. Drains. The drain from the air conditioner. So when you turn on the air conditioner, you cause the moisture from the air to condense, and it gets, that's what goes outside the house in considerable amounts. If you have an air conditioner drain that goes directly over things that are growing, could be a big problem to use that air conditioner during Shemitah. Therefore, you should make sure before Shemitah that you divert the drains to go over things that aren't growing, ground that's not growing anything, or cement, or whatever. And even then, if it overflows onto things that are growing, not directly, but indirectly, that could be that it's okay.
Yeah. Does it have to be diverted before Shemitah, or that you
No, it should be diverted before you use it on Shemitah.
Okay, fine, just yeah. Say. Yeah.
The drainage from a washing machine.
Yeah, so the things that are mixed with detergents or whatever that are not conducive, right, and positive for things to grow, just the opposite. Soapy water probably is not good. However, some say that soapy water, if you're using detergents, are made with phosphates, and phosphates are good fertilizer. So putting that water on the things that are growing may not be considered watering, but they consider fertilizing. So it has to make sure that you put something in there. The water is mixed with something that is not conducive to make things grow. That's another way of getting around this. If you can't divert the thing, then you should make sure that the water is mixed with bleach or something like that before, what's it called, before it hits the plants. Yeah.
Is the rough speaking about if it's draining down and it lands on something that's a weed, or we're talking about
anything that's growing? Anything that's growing. Anything that's growing. Shabbos is the same halach. Okay. Okay. What else? Okay. The like we said, planting vegetables, things that where there's no svichim, not edible things. Sometimes, however, flowers that are aromatic could be svichim. Flowers that have no aroma to them, or other kinds of plants that are not for eating or smelling or whatever. You can plant, and there's no din of svichim, they don't become osir. Those things you can plant, lahalacha, up until Shemitah. Lechumra, you should plant them at least 3 days before if they're vegetable kind of things, not edible vegetables, but those kind of things, in order they shouldn't take root during Shemitah. Right? If they're bushes or whatever, you should try to plant them 2 weeks before Shemitah, lechumra, so they don't take root during Shemitah. If you're planting them from a seed, if you're planting them from a flower pot or whatever, from already they're grown, then they take root immediately, and you can plant them again all the way up till Rosh Hashanah. Anything else that you have to worry about before Shemitah? Yeah.
Can you use
slow release
fertilizer?
Can you use? Slow release. We'll get that. We'll get to when we get to what.
That's also before Shemitah.
To put in fertilizer that will, what's it called, release throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Now, as you put in the fertilizer before, lahalacha, you can use it. The chumra, since there's a sheet of the minchas chinuch, right, there is a reason to be machmer not to do that. But for those who have to do that and whatever, we're talking about the commercial agriculture, they're definitely heterim. For your own personal thing, where it's not all that important, could be it's good to be machmer not to do that, right? Because there are other eitzes, and according to the Minchas Chinuch, you can't do that. So better to be choshish for that sheet of the chumra. But it's only a chumra.
Would that be similar to setting a sprinkler before Shemitah?
What?
Would that be similar to setting a sprinkler before the year? For the whole year?
I mean, putting it on a time clock, we'll get to that, yeah. But that's similar to that, yeah. Similar to that, where you've set up the whole ma'arechet, where you're not doing anything during Shemitah, it's all done by yourself. Again, there is a shita that's osur. You don't paskin like that, but the reason to be machmer, right? If it's not for commercial purposes or it's not really necessary, and what's it called? That it applies to anything that's made, what's it called, by a Shabbos clock or by a computer or whatever that takes care of the ground and taking, and it's all arranged before Shemitah, and you're not doing anything on Shemitah. In many of these things, though, things go wrong or whatever, and you have to return it on or whatever, then there's big problems. So it's not a good idea to try to computerize your watering, right, or the fertilizing or whatever, because if something goes wrong in the end, you're the ending up doing something on Shemitah that causes it to be watered by changing the computer or changing the clock or whatever, and then there's a real problem. So we'll get to that. When we get to the halachas of Shemitah itself, we'll see what you can do that's done indirectly and not directly on Shemitah, like watering, like we said, and fertilizing or whatever.
Putting down artificial grass.
Artificial grass is not a...
Not as far as planting, as far as a Buddhist karka.
It's not called a Buddhist karka. You're putting a rug on top of your lawn.
Mm, not just put it down yet.
Right, if it takes root, then it's awesome. But if the artificial grass will not take root, then it's okay.
It's artificial, but definition shouldn't take root, right?
Right.
No, but wasn't that as far as planting? Wasn't that as planting?
You're not doing anything. So you're not doing avoda with the karka. You're covering the karka with something.
No, you have to straighten out the karka.
Yeah, no, that's a different story.
That's how you do it.
That's a different story. That's not putting down the grass. That's preparing the ground, right? That's called plowing or whatever. That could be awesome. Even though your intention is to do it for the sake of the artificial grass, but the mice, if you prepare this, that in case you wanted to plant there, you made it easier to plant. That's called plowing. Yeah, that could be also during Shemitah. We'll see. That, what's it called? Cleaning up your yard also. Your intention is to clean up the yard. There's only certain ways you can do it. Otherwise, it's considered plowing, too. Plowing means preparing a ground for and making it easier to plant. So even if your intention is not to plant anything there, but your intention is to clean the ground or to make it steady because you want to put a table there or whatever, there's ways you're allowed to do it and ways you're not allowed to do it. So that could be a problem. But putting down the artificial grass is not a problem. If you did everything before Shemitah and made it possible, you want to put down artificial grass on ground that already was prepared for that, there's no problem. Preparing the ground for artificial grass may be a problem. Mm-hmm. Putting down artificial grass is not a problem.
I was talking about the whole process.
Yeah, okay. And even if you don't put any artificial grass, you want to put the artificial grass after Shemitah, the problem of preparing the ground is still a problem. It has nothing to do with the artificial grass. It has to do with preparing the ground, right? That could be the problem. The artificial grass is irrelevant. Okay. That pretty much is the things that you have to worry about before Shemitah. Now I'll take questions. Anybody? You're confused? No. It's okay. This was the easy part. Let's discuss one other thing. We have a few minutes. How do we see to it that the people who need to learn these halachas hear them? Okay, I would be very naive to think that most people are going to learn these halachas on their own before Shemitah. In addition, there are a lot of new people here that will see that the way we keep Shemitah here is not the same way that you keep it in Yerushalayim for many things. Also, there are a lot of people here who lived in places where they didn't have any kind of gardens or whatever. That's why they moved here, so they could have gardens. So they don't have any reka, they have no background experience in how to deal, no experience, right, in what's it called, in planting gardens during Shemitah. They never went through a Shemitah. We have people, we don't have too many people that didn't live here during Shemitahs, used to have like that, but then that's not the problem. So there's two things. One is that a lot of these people would not understand the shiur in English. That's why we had two shiurim for Pesach, one in English, one in Hebrew. I don't know 100% what to do. On the one hand, I have the responsibility to make sure people know I can't, you know, you can make it available, you can't make the horse drink. But not that I'm comparing people to horses, but in any case, you still can't make them drink. So I don't know. Anybody have any suggestions what we should do?
I think if the Rav was to put out not just an email, because some people don't have the email, in Ivrit and also in English, some pertinent points that people who are new to it wouldn't know. Like those people who don't go with the Shita Buddha about Kedusha Shvius. There are lots of people like that. And a few sort of things that will go, oh my goodness, you know, this is something I do in terms also of dealing with the ginun, of you know, saying even if you have indoor plants, if they go over the plant pot, then you're in a mess. These sort of those sort of subtle things that people don't know about, so they see just a small piece of paper, so it's not something very difficult to read, that will wake them up.
I was just going to say, maybe there should be like a column in the Yididon.
Just with the introduction that the Rav just gave, that there's some people who are new here from other places, or some people who didn't have gardens before. Like maybe
What to put in there? I'm not going to write a whole new sefer on Shemitah.
Just the upcoming topics that will be discussed in the next 3 weeks.
I wouldn't give too much information, because then people will say, oh well, I don't need, I already know now.
Right. Also, I have to write a book. That's ridiculous.
You have to call it something like Shmita Gems and put in Dafka those, did you know? And put in there the halachas that you expect that are the key problematical halachas. If they don't know that, then they need to come to a shul.
I suggest that maybe the Rav just puts down the things that are that you have to ask Shilas about. Did you know that, you know, these are the things that are of concern, house plants.
Water, without going into the details of what it is.
And then don't give any halachas, just these are these, and then they're going to have to go and learn.
Laundering, cleaning the floor.
Although I'm assuming that the Rav is going to give a shiur in Hebrew.
Yeah, I was going to say that we won't have to offer give a shiur in Hebrew.
The shiur in Hebrew, if there is a request, and I see how many, I will definitely consider doing it. If there's no request, I don't need to give myself a shiur in Hebrew. I can understand the English. When we put these things out, we'll see how many people, you know, say, well, I need to know, and I'll put it out in Hebrew and in English. So people will be aware of what topics they should be concerned about without going into the details of what they are. But you should realize these things are have to be dealt with, and there's specific halachas with them or whatever. And the shiurim that we're going to give are going to deal with these over the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks or whatever. These are the topics. These are the things of concern or whatever. And without going into all the details of it, but just what the inyan is, right, so people are made aware that there is such an inyan. I think that sounds good.
But
yeah.
Also make sure that people know that there's a difference between the Chazonish, which we hold here, as opposed to what we hold on.
Yeah, well, that we can put as an introduction, the first thing.
But they know that there is a difference.
Right.
This is the
okay.
Is someone going to do Shmita bins this time?
Do what?
The Shmita bins.
Oh, you mean the garbage cans?
Yeah.
I think we need a shear also in English and British.
Excuse me, we speak American English.
I guarantee you, okay, that Ellie Hazen will do it.
He did it last time.
He did it last time,
though.
Okay, so if Chaim wants to do it, there no one will be upset if there's a competition in more than one who you put your Shemitah bin in.
If the Rav talks about those,
we could have Shemitah bins and Shemitah garbage cans, and whoever wants to use whichever one.
This is something that anybody who doesn't hold by the same sheet as us would know what we're talking about. Right. If the Rav, for instance, talks about those.
Right.
And
so we'll, yeah.
Right.
I hate to say, but there's enough English-speaking people who also have been here a lot of years and who've never become interested.
Yeah. It's not only another rabbi. Some of the people speak Hebrew, know ganz fein die halachas better than I do. Right? They've been here for, you know, since they're born, and they've been through quite a lot of shemitahs or whatever. They know. They know what the chazonish. They know the right. They definitely know better than me. I mean, how many shemitahs have we been here already? A few. But But in any case, I remember the first Shemitah. That was really something.
There are new things that come out. There are new things, and in Matthias comes out.
Okay. Okay, but I was just concerned. I can't write a sefer on Shemitah. That's ridiculous.
No.
Right? But that's now I hear how to do it.
And I think the less information you give, the better, or the more likely you are to have people come to this year.
Right.
Okay.
Like, in other words,
I really don't care. But that's not the Indian that more people should come to the shir. I just want more people to know what's going on.
No, okay, but I'm saying...
Right.
It's
impossible for me to write everything on the shir down unless somebody wants to transcribe every shir, right? We'll get somebody to transcribe the tapes. That also is a possibility, but that's also... People aren't going to read this. And with the way it's given over, if it's transcribed, people won't understand it.
I hope people understand it
when they're here, let alone when they read it, you know, outside. So that's not the Eitzah. The Eitzah is to tackle, like you said, that's a great idea, what came out from everybody here, to put up the major ideas that we're going to discuss and the things that are problematic and should be aware of, and what's it called, then that will make people at least aware of what they have to ask Shilas about, or look into, or come to the Shia, one of the three. Yeah.
Is there ever going to go down into Kiryat Sefer where people normally buy and find out what their policy is with vegetables? So I seem to remember that they weren't all, that we had a problem with.
Yeah, we vaguely remember also that we had problems with various supermarkets of how they had the Rishima. Yeah. Okay, I vaguely remember that also. I vaguely remember what I ate for breakfast also. So this was 7 years ago. I don't think I ate breakfast this morning.
It's easier to remember what happened 7 years ago than
it was this morning. Now there are more
stories. Yeah, okay.
Want to push out of your mind.
Okay, we definitely will look into that, especially what Kiryat Sefer holds and what they don't. Usually they hold pretty much the same thing we hold here because they also pass in accordance of Liyoshiv's Psakim, usually there. The question is how the supermarkets are run. That was the question. Okay. Anybody who has other information like that, that were things that were problematic 7 years ago, please remind me.
I just remember that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. We had certain people that we knew did what we wanted, mm-hmm. and there were certain supermarkets that were not, and you couldn't sign up with that. I remember vaguely there was a problem. Mm-hmm. I got to remember what the problem was now, but I remember vaguely it was a problem.
And there are a lot of people going to big places like Osherad or Rami Lendi and things like that, so it might be a good idea to find out.
Yeah, we'll try to find out. Okay. I would appreciate if people think of things that like this, mm-hmm. let me know. Okay. For the next week, don't email me because I don't have any internet. Not by choice. Not by choice. And in any case, I can't hear any. I don't know what to do. It's because there are things that are important things that people think that they got to me, and I have no idea what.
The Rav has Gmail. He can go to somebody else's computer.
Yeah, I can go to somebody else's computer, but I have to find somebody else's computer to go to.
Why?
Okay. Go to my mechutna. Okay. Okay, then we're going to visit you. Okay, in any case, that was just an introduction. We'll try to pick small, we have time, we'll try to pick small sections and go through them week